I'm Max from AFM.aero. Welcome to the Pilot Training Connect podcast, where we interview leaders from the pilot training industry to learn more about the organization and their views of the industry. Every week, we invite an industry leader to sit down with us to share their knowledge and views. This week, I have the great pleasure to be joined by Andy McFarlane, CEO at Leading Edge Aviation, a well-known European pilot training group headquartered in the UK. Welcome to the Pilot Training Connect podcast, Andy. Can you provide us a brief introduction to Leading Edge and tell us more about yourself?
Hi, Max. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the introduction. Leading Edge Aviation, based at Oxford Airfield in the UK, with a number of sites around us, expanding fairly rapidly now. We've got just over 200 students in training with us and graduates flying with a number of European airlines. So really good news as the market picks up. And the one thing we've just announced in the last week or so is our new Fairweather Academy down at Alameda Murcia in Spain. I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a moment.
Yeah, congratulations on this expansion. I know right now there's really a push for more flight training capacity. Can you just give us an idea? I know you mentioned you have approximately 200 students in training. Can you give us an idea of your fleet size, your training infrastructure, your locations in the UK, just so that everyone kind of gets more of an idea of the Leading Edge aviation pilot training infrastructure?
Certainly. So we have predominantly our students are integrated, but we also take module students through as well. We have base here at Oxford Airport is our main academy, where we have our ground school based just across the way on the airfield. We have our operations and exam centre, where we do our flying from, and also all of our ground school exams, both UK and EASA. We are dual licensed, and the vast majority of our British students that are with us do dual licensing, and we can take European students to do EASA if they would like to. And just across the road, we have our sim centre, where we have our A320 simulator for our APS MCC, and also our two Diamonds DA42 simulators. So a reasonable setup, growing capacity here in the UK.
Oh, fantastic. And I know on the aircraft side, right, you have a fleet of Diamond aircraft. I keep on seeing the fantastic images of it on LinkedIn. It's quite a new fleet, correct?
Yeah, it is a fairly new fleet, and we're adding to that all the time. So at the moment, we have 11 DA40s, and we have 6 DA42s, and then we have a Firefly for our advanced upset recovery and prevention training.
Well, fantastic. And you make a great point, which kind of leads us to go to the next thing that I wanted to discuss with you, is that I know you're one of the very few organizations in the United Kingdom, which offers this dual license program. So where aspiring pilots, cadet pilots who sign up with you get both a UK CAA license and an EASA license. How did that kind of develop, and how much did kind of Brexit influence that offering that you started, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of 2021 or 2022?
So we set up the academy in 2018, but all the indications from the UK CAA was saying, yes, we're exiting from European Union, but we'll stay in EASA. And then it was a bit of a shock to the world when suddenly our government announced we were exiting from EASA as well. So we'd taken the decision as soon as that announcement was made that we would offer our students the opportunity for dual licensing. Took a bit of time, obviously, because we had to suddenly get dual approval. So everything we do is dual approved now. And it means, though, that suddenly at Brexit and leaving EASA with only a UK license, then there were a lot less opportunities for our graduates to go and get their first jobs. So we took the decision to get dual licensing, and that reopens the whole of Europe again for all of our graduates. And some of the other airlines, you know, that operate both UK and across Europe, it gives our students the opportunity once they've graduated. They could be operating from the UK, but if there's a summer winter season, they may go and operate across Europe with their EASA license in the winter season, or if a command opportunity comes, they can go and move into Europe. So it certainly broadens their job prospects for the future, which is great.
I fully agree. And would you say right now for your UK enrolled students, would you say all of them are going for this dual license program, or the majority? How would you say is that split between people who just decide to go UK CAA license versus dual license?
In the early days, it was about a 50-50. Mm-hmm. We're probably hitting more like 95% of our students are going for dual.
Okay. That's quite amazing to hear. So as you're offering this dual license, and I know that for a while Leading Edge Aviation has also been exploring expansion opportunities. Can you share with us a bit more about your recent announcement of expanding to Spain?
Absolutely. Yeah, we were delighted to be able to announce that we've expanded into our Alhama campus down in Alhama de Murcia in southern Spain. Fantastic area, 300 plus days of glorious sunshine, a little bit different from the UK today. Great flying weather, light winds, but also it's not just the airspace around, flat terrain, no controlled airspace around for us to operate from. And yet international airports a short distance away to go and practice instrument approaches and talking to air traffic as well. So the best of both worlds. And something we're really, really keen about. We had to have good accommodation for our students and for our staff. So the accommodation is literally 4 kilometers in a direct line from the airfield. It's on a golf complex, lots of sports facilities and recreational facilities, along with shops and restaurants and bars. And the local area, sports facilities, things to go and do at the weekends, whether that's mountain biking, walking, sports, water sports, and good towns, and importantly for our staff as well who are going to move there, good opportunities for employment for their other halves, schools for their children. So it's all in all fits in very nicely with what we were after.
Well, fantastic to hear. And what would you estimate? So how much will it increase your training capacity?
So our plot at the moment is that all the students will come here to Oxford to do ground school, and then they'll move out to Alhama to do the foundation flying, so up to and including CPL. Then they'll come back to the UK and complete IR, both UK and EASA. Any student that just wants an EASA license will stay probably in Alhama and complete their IRs down there as we go. It'll increase, probably give us a good third capacity increase with the accommodation and the airspace as well to be able to operate. Oxford is a great location to operate from, but free airspace for that very early flying stage, it's a little bit more limited. Great for the IR phase, that's why we insist we will come back and do all the harder bit of flying here. But for that, a bit of where you want just free airspace, no one in your way, and little air traffic, then Alhama is absolutely superb.
I've seen pictures from it, and it looks phenomenal. Would you say then it's also a very good base for airlines to evaluate, to kind of speak with Leading Edge Aviation to maybe conduct a cadet pilot program training out of the Spain base that you have?
It would be absolutely superb. It's ideal. The airfield, it's actually same size as Oxford's, and we are the only operators there. So we're permanently based there. There's the occasional helicopter traffic, and once a week or so from another school comes in with prior permission. But after that, it's our airspace, it's our airfield. So we have significant growth capacity there, and we're looking to operate 7 days a week, which is, 7 days a week, 300 plus days a year with glorious sunshine.
Oh, that's fantastic. So moving on from that, I'm quite curious to know. I know the last time that we spoke was at the beginning of the pandemic. Now I would say we're mostly out of the pandemic. I don't know if at this stage the pandemic has already officially been declared as over. But now coming out of the pandemic, what are the kind of key trends that you're seeing in the flight training segment of the industry?
Well, we certainly see student numbers increasing. So we had our biggest course ever yet, started in September. We're looking for a double course in October and a double course in November. So that's definitely a trend. People are getting more confident. We see airlines recruiting. And those that aren't recruiting yet are getting ready to recruit. And we're talking to a number of them. So those ones that we're affiliated and working closely with, it works well. And, you know, I think something that's definitely looking for the future is more collaboration between different flight schools. So working closer together, trying to work out, you know, say the smaller ones, but still 200 plus students, saying, well, okay, what have we got that we can collaborate and work together? How can we help each other out so that we are in a competitive angle to work for the B2B contracts with the big airlines if they come along?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think going into 2023, the demand from airlines is far going to outstrip the supply capability of the medium to large sized players. And that certainly there will be a lot of collaboration going on. Recently, you know, one of the things that I'm closely tracking is just like how you've set up now a kind of program which is done in two different locations. It seems that also a trend coming out of the pandemic now is a number of different training organizations who are implementing or evaluating dual location training, so to really ensure that they have enough resources or capability in different locations and using the strengths surrounding that. But one of the key trends, and I know we've touched upon this briefly before we started this interview, is what are the key trend that you're seeing with, you know, airlines restarting their hiring in terms of the flight instructor availability throughout Europe?
Yeah, we certainly see that the airlines are recruiting. As we discussed earlier, it looks like most of them have used up their pool of pilots that they either furloughed or made redundant, and they've gone back, albeit an awful lot of people we're talking to who are senior first officers, captains, quite a lot of them have said, no, I'm going to go back on a 50% or a 70% contract, not 100%. And I think that's helped fuel the recruitment pull. And some flight instructors have decided, do you know what, I'm going to go and take that airline role. Certainly, we've been employing a number of our graduates in different roles, whether it's operations or the like. They're now getting pulled back into the airlines, and some of those are going quite quickly, as in a month's notice, and that makes it more difficult to recruit, albeit we have a number of plans that we'll be announcing shortly on how we're going to resolve that and how we're going to ensure that we're sustainable for the future.
You know, I think this is something which next year there will be a lot of discussion around between airlines and flight schools, because I'm seeing exactly the same thing, that there's a number of different flight schools across the world. I can think of a couple of examples more here in the region towards Asia, where a large number of the flight instructors are just waiting to be called upon, or are actually, it's quite interesting as well. We know of a couple of flight schools where flight instructors just simply have not resigned yet because they cannot find a full flight simulator slot capacity, because the majority of Airbus A320 full flight simulators are full. But it's really coming to a point where I think a lot of people are worrying, will there be enough flight instructors next year? And so it's fairly good to hear that, you know, you have this program where you have airline pilots who are, you know, working only a certain number of hours with the airline, and then the rest with you, and that you will shortly be announcing more programs in terms of how to tackle this complexity. What are the other kind of challenges that you're currently seeing in the flight training segment of the industry?
Well, I certainly, as we discussed earlier, fuel prices going up, everything seems to be increasing, and so far, I haven't seen a single flight school increase the price of the course. It was just fixed some 4 years ago. I think that's going to be on the cards sooner rather than later. And we've discussed it at our open days, saying to people, you know, if you sign up now, you'll get the price it is. How much is it going to go? Who knows? There are so many factors that we can't influence, whether that happens to be an economic situation or a war, we're stuck with those things. But certainly there's been a marked increase in fuel prices, and also the value, the cost of aeroplanes. They've gone up significantly. So when we add to our fleet, it's another 20, 30% more than 3 years ago. So there are great pressures and pinch points on there. We're doing everything we can to keep the price as low as possible. And going back to your early point, using instructors, our APS MCC instructors, they are all current airline pilots, which is a great way of using people, primarily because what we wanted was people who are current, using the latest technology, using an A320 exactly as we've got in our simulator, and they're current on that. So giving our students the best chance of knowing what are the latest developments within the airline world. And therefore, they're contractors. It keeps our costs down a little bit as well.
One of the things we're studying on our side is, we think another solution to this is the cross-border hiring of instructors or trainers or any of these, let's call it specialized positions, be it from simulator technicians to instructors. Another thing where I want to get your opinion on, because I know this must be affecting you at the moment, is we're seeing cost inflation from flight instructor salaries to fuel to supply chain, parts. And one of the areas which I always was looking at to kind of absorb a lot of these price increases is, funding, financing solutions. And I know Leading Edge has a financing program as well for its flight training and degree program. But now, over the past couple of months, we've seen a huge increase in interest rates. So how do you think this additional sort of headwind will be tackled by flight schools?
It's a really difficult one. With the interest rate going up, with there being no dedicated bank anymore in the UK giving loans to pilots, it's something we are talking to different institutions about and seeing ways of how can we develop a replacement scheme. It's almost impossible to solve on your own. So we are talking to other flight schools to see how can we collaborate, how can we do this. And if we jointly we approach banks, will help. And we've also we've engaged with ministers from the government to say, what else is out there to help us? Can we expand the apprenticeship scheme? At the moment, we need an airline involved in the apprenticeship scheme, which has been reluctant to get in involved in because of the pay side of it all. But what else is there? Are there better grants that the government could give for this type of training? So we've spoken with a number of government ministers and continue to lobby at that level to see what can be helped.
Yeah.
Ideally, the airlines would start up more schemes and at least underwrite the loans, but I think that will come, but not for some time yet.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think second half of 2023 or summer season of 2023 it all depends on what happens geopolitically, but I think this winter we're most likely going to see a bit of subdued air travel demand just due to very steep increase in the cost of living. One of the models which I wanted to share with you, which is something which we've been tracking quite closely, is we're starting to see airlines implement a payment schedule or funding solution for the cadet programs, whereas in the cadet pays for the PPL stage, or let's call it PPL plus stage. So a cadet pays around 15 to 20,000 euros, dollars, pounds. And then from that already shows a financial institution that, that student has the capability to pass the rest of the training. And has put a significant amount of capital from themselves into this career path. that then the banks are kind of more comfortable funding the rest. We've seen a couple of airlines launch this, the ones which have really gone very public and are promoting this quite heavily as Air Baltic in Latvia. But I think this is one of the systems where we're going to see next year airlines come back, and for the cadet programs, you know, they might not sponsor at all, but you know, maybe through such a system, they can get enough commitment from aspiring pilots and support the flight schools to absorb some of this cost inflation by once again introducing the financing programs.
We certainly hope that does come off. Certainly the airlines we're talking to at the moment aren't getting there, but I think as the pain pinch comes in, of they can't recruit enough people at the salaries they're doing, then there's certainly something's going to have to give. Whether that is an airline funds or part funds the training, then that'll be interesting to see go forward. You know, as we said, the pool is pretty much emptied now of experienced people. Yes, there's movement between different airlines, but that's the same as always has been. And our graduates are getting employed at a much faster rate now as they were 6 months, 8 months ago. So we certainly see the future looking much brighter for graduate side.
Just so you know, Air France just 2 days ago announced again that they are restarting their fully sponsored cadet program, actually, with applications now open since this week. So I feel, you know, especially through platforms such as AFM, we're able to provide this global pilot training industry market intelligence where we can, you know, share with airlines, share with governments, kind of how other airlines in other parts of the world are tackling this funding issue and this increased and significant increase in the cost of training. You mentioned an interesting point, which is around your graduate placement. You know, your student pilots who signed up at the beginning of the pandemic must be quite happy that they signed up when they did.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them in jobs now. We've got really good relationships with a number of airlines, and you know, our graduates are getting good results. You know, the placement is pretty swift now, which is nice to see. It's not as quick as it used to be. It is taking us some months, but it is definitely picking up, and I can see into the new year, and that'll be a lot better as we go forward. More will be taking the low hour graduates.
How important for the low hour graduates, how important do you think it is for them to do such a program such as you have, which includes the APS MCC training course?
I'm biased. I think it's absolutely vital. Why do we think that? It's because when we're speaking to airlines, the vast majority of airlines now want APS MCC. Every school can teach you to fly an aeroplane. It's all the value-added bits, all the add-ons, it's all the pilot competencies. And when you actually look at pilot competencies, the EASA ones, it's only two of them are actually flying an aeroplane. The rest of them are soft skills. So we teach all of the soft skills as well. Our graduate services is really important to us, where we sit down with the student, we practice interview techniques, we work their CV with them, so they're ready. We do role plays and the like. And then, yeah, that's all built in as part of the integrated course. And then, of course, if it could be a month or 2 months, or maybe slightly longer has been for some of them, before they get that really, really important first interview, they come back again and do a refresher course with us. So it's an ongoing relationship to make sure that the graduates are ready at their peak just before they go for their first interviews.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I have to congratulate you on and the whole Leading Edge Aviation team on really, you know, we've been following you quite closely, what you have done throughout the pandemic in terms of student care, in terms of preparing them for this rebound is absolutely fantastic to see. And I'm sure a lot of the airlines will appreciate it as well now as they're ramping up again, for them to have such phenomenal training organization, which has, you know, trained a pool of highly qualified graduates that they can recruit from.
Thank you very much. It's one of the reasons, you know, that our founding principles that we had, that was to try and put the student at the heart of everything we do. And as you say many a time, do we get it right all the time? No. But we do try very hard to make sure that the student gets the best learning experience and is ready and prepared for what the airlines are wanting to recruit. And that fully rounded first officer who has all the capabilities and potential to become transfer and get their command to become a captain. That's what the airlines want to recruit. That's what they're telling us they have done over many years. So that's why we want to try and create that as for all of our graduates.
Oh, fantastic. Final question from my side, which is, you know, we touched upon kind of the key trends and challenges that we're currently facing as an industry. How do you see the flight training industry developing over the next 2 years specifically, seeing that there's an increased demand from airlines for more pilots, but the challenges to deliver training haven't been greater than they have in the last, you know, decade or two decades?
Yeah, I think one of the things you mentioned about flight instructors and ground school instructors being pulled back to airlines. We had that a number of years ago before the pandemic, and it was that balance between airlines wanting to recruit more people, but saying if you take away all the instructors by giving them great packages, then there's no one to train for the future. So there certainly needs to be a solution to maintaining your instructor corps. And we have a number of through and through career instructors, and that's what they want to do, and that's what we're really proud and very pleased with them. They're an excellent group of people. But there are got to be solutions to maintain that and grow that core. We mentioned about collaboration. I think that's going to be a key thing where a number of academies join together and work, not actually joining the companies together, but play to each other's strengths to offset any weaknesses or perceived weaknesses there may be. And that's something we've been having a number of discussions with other academies across Europe. You know, where's the best thing to work to and what can we collaborate on?
So I absolutely agree with you. Looking into the next 2 years, I really feel that the medium to large size schools are going to get much, much larger really kind of condense this industry further from the current kind of fragmented nature that the flight training industry has globally. Where would you see kind of leading edge aviation in 2 years' time in terms of the number of highly qualified airline pilots that it would be training per year?
Certainly, you know, we'd say about 210 or so at the moment. We'd like to go a little bit larger. But previous experience in other academies, there's a point where it gets too large. One thing that we really, really like is that we do actually know our students. That's been harder through pandemic, where people have been walking around buildings with masks on and actually keeping distance there. But that's, you know, getting back to norm again. And it's nice when we can have meetings and we do discuss with our students how their individual training is going. It was absolutely fantastic. We had a first big graduation since the pandemic. We held it in Bristol and we had a gala dinner under the last ever flying Concorde, which was so nice to have back in a group. But it was so great to be able to congratulate each of those individuals that I know personally and the rest of the director team know personally. So that was really nice to do. So there's definitely a maximum size we want to grow to. And that's something, it's not, we're just going to keep exponentially expanding. Not at all. We need to keep to a size that works for all around, what, both in business, but also for the students and staff.
Oh, fantastic. I know I said final question earlier, but something has just come to my mind, which I want to get your opinion on. Based on the events from the last 2 weeks, I know that right now your pilot training offering, since it's priced in Great British Pound, must have become a lot more relatively competitively priced for players within Europe, let's say airlines, to look at, right, with the recent fall in the British pound. What's your view on that?
Yeah, it's potential. You know, from anybody outside of the UK, yes, it has become relatively cheaper, you know, almost on parity across the board on the exchange rate. As a business, we're trying to hope that the pound gets better again and recovers. But it is another opportunity, and we will look at all opportunities as they go ahead. And happy to discuss that with any of the airlines or individuals, because obviously all our students at the moment are individual B2C cadets coming in.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your insights with us today, Andy. It was really a pleasure to hear about your expansion, to hear about you ramping up. For anyone listening, if you want to learn more about Leading Edge Aviation, please check out the website, leadingedgeaviation.com, or connect with Andy on LinkedIn. Is there anything else you would like to say, Andy?
No, absolutely. Do check out the website, give us a call, come and see us. Our open days are getting busier and busier, which is absolutely fantastic. But we do personal tours, we do remote tours as well. So one of our customer advisors can take you around on Teams, though we don't actually have to travel to get the feel of the place. But do check us out, and we'd be delighted to see you.
Perfect, Andy. Thank you, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much, Max. All the best.